FM HD2 Houston. KPFT.
Hello, Houston. Live from the KPFT studios, it's the Houston Hour with Houston historian and TV's Mr. McKinney and Heidi Vaughn of Heidi Vaughn Fine Art. Now, sit back and relax as we bring you an hour of all things arts, entertainment, history, and Houston happenings. Here's Mr. McKinney.
It's Mr. McKinney here with Mr. McKinney's Historic Houston, coming to you in the KPFT airways of my awesome co-host, Heidi Vaughn of Heidi Vaughn Fine Art. Say hello, Heidi.
Hello, Houston. Hi, Mr. McKinney.
Cumpleaños feliz.
Did you know it was my birthday yesterday?
It was.
Yeah.
August 5th.
Had an especially good one.
You know what? We really love doing the Houston Hour. Every now and then, your birthday does fall on the date that we have the show, which is exciting. So I'm so glad you didn't have to come into work for your birthday yesterday. Well, it's also important because we are kicking off birthday month. That's a big deal for us here at the Houston
Hour. How old is Houston this year?
189 years old.
That's even older than me.
We're getting close, folks, to the big 190th, which is next year. So we're looking forward to this. But yeah, 189 years young, I should say, as this amazing city continues to grow and evolve. And we want to celebrate all things Houston. And speaking of birthdays, today happens to be an important birthday. It's George Herman's birthday, August 6th, 1843. He was born right here in Houston, Texas. He's a native Houstonian. Most people know George Herman, this entrepreneurial and native of the city of Houston, really for his gift of the Herman Park and Herman Hospital. And we have a very exciting guest connected to Herman's legacy. Kyle Wolf's going to be joining us. He's the chief operating officer for the Herman Park Conservancy. And we're going to talk about that. He's also a master naturalist. So we'll talk about that so much more. I've got the pleasure of serving on the board of Mill Outdoor Theater. We've had Kyle on my live show. We do a Channel 39 as well. Now, on the art side, who do we have on the art side?
Kathy Slaughter. She's the author of a delightful children's book about Houston.
That's right. H is for Houston. It's a great children's book. And her husband, George Slaughter, is an accomplished author as well. So I just love the idea of the two of them being an author family. She's a former educator. So we're looking forward to having Kathy Slaughter kind of kick things off for Houston's birthday month. And that book really, really connects with the history of Houston along with children's book. Now, what about things to do around town, the arts calendar, Heidi?
Well, over at the Manil Collection, there's a very special show. It's inspired by an exhibition by Dominique de Manil and Germaine McCaggie at the University of St. Thomas in 1964 called Animals, Monsters, and Creatures. And it's art from the Manil Collection, and it's an exploration of monsters and art, and it's pretty fun. It's up through the fall. And I feel compelled to mention today is August 6th. It's also Andy Warhol's birthday. And not everyone knows that the de Manils worked a lot with Andy Warhol, and he premiered some of his most important films over at the University of St. Thomas when he was in Houston and worked with them quite a bit.
It's a big deal, so love the connection there. Now, what about on the performing arts side?
Well, over at Stages, I recommend Honky Tonk Laundry. It's up through August 17th by Roger Bean. Two country angels join forces to turn their laundromat into a boot-scootin' honky-tonk, and they exact a touch of revenge against those that done them wrong. I love everything over at Stages, and I know that this one is going to be especially fun.
Honky Tonk Laundry, stageshouston.com. So get your tickets there and check out the show. Well, you know what, Heidi? We shouldn't waste any more time. We should get started with our very first guest.
Thank you, Mr. McKinney. Well, it's a real honor to introduce our arts guest today. Kathy M. Slaughter is a longtime educator and author of the book H is for Houston. Kathy Slaughter, welcome to the Houston Hour.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we're so delighted to have this conversation about a wonderful children's book that you wrote. And before we get to that, let's start with a little bit about you. Where are you from?
I'm from Corpus Christi, but I've lived here in Houston since 1971, so this is really my home.
Oh, yeah, that's a long time ago you came here. What part of town did you move to?
Well, right now we're in Katy, but before that we had lived at various places inside the city.
So you grew up here. Where'd you go to school?
I went to the University of Houston. I have 2 degrees from the University of Houston. I have a Bachelor's of Arts in Speech Communication, and I have a Master's degree in Education with an emphasis on elementary education.
Oh, bless your heart. And I know that you put that to really good use here in town, I guess in A-Leaf. Talk a little bit about your history in A-Leaf.
Yes, I worked in A-Leaf. I started out in 3rd grade, then went down to 2nd grade, then went up to 4th grade, and I always liked to teach summer school, and I would work with either pre-K or kinder.
And how long did you do that?
About 21 years total.
That's a long time. And did you have your own family at this time?
Yes, I have 2 sons who are now adults, and they went through the A-Leaf School District as well.
Okay, and what did you think of your experience? Were you glad to be in the A-Leaf School District?
Yes, I really, really liked working with the children and working with all ages in elementary. You got to see all their different stages as they were growing and what they were learning in each grade level.
Kids that age are just sweet. As a parent, I loved it when my kids were that age. My favorite age is 5 to 10 because they don't really cry anymore and they're not worried about being cool yet and they're just kind of loving and fun and enthusiastic about everything. So reading was always important to you.
Yes, very important.
What were some of your favorite books to read with children?
Oh, goodness, there were so many. Well, one of my favorite authors was Tommy DiPaolo. We read every book that he wrote. And one of the things that really made an impression on me about Tommy, this was even before I thought about writing a book. His book, The Art Lesson, he revised that book 55 times.
Oh.
And it's just a small picture book. But
we had that book, yeah. What do you know about that?
About the revising? Mm-hmm. You have to do that. And one of the things, especially when I taught 4th grade, and that's when they are taking the writing part of the whatever test it was at the time. It was TAX and TOS, and then when I finished, it was STAR, which it still is. But that's when the 4th graders have to do a writing sample. And one of the things they always say, they would write their draft of the story, and they'd say, we're done. No, you're not done. We have to go back. We can always make some changes and things to make your piece better.
Yeah, I vividly remember writing when I was that age. I remember my teacher held me back after class, just wanted to know where I got my idea from. And I was fascinated by Paul Bunyan and his big blue ox. And I just used those characters and made my own story around them that I just sort of made up. And she was very complimentary of me that I did that. And I think it's just a fun age where you're just learning how to get started doing things like writing stories, writing poetry, writing fiction, even writing nonfiction. And the teacher is so crucial at that point to help you feel validated and give you a sense of self-esteem.
Well, one of the things I will have to say is I hate to say I had favorites, but if I had to, I would say 3rd grade. Mm-hmm. Because 3rd grade, those children are just old enough that you can teach them a lesson and they can go off and follow up by themselves. And we always had book clubs in our classroom, and we operated them just like they were an adult book club with discussion. And they had so much that they had to read each night and come together in the group, and there was even a writing component to go with it.
I remember SRS reading. Do they still have that? Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Yeah. Do they still have yes. that?
Not that I know of.
Okay. That was where you read a passage and then answered some questions mm-hmm. to show that you understood what you read. And certainly the multimedia aspect of elementary school has changed a lot since I was a kid. But that was pretty high tech at the time. Mm-hmm. I remember listening to cassettes or something like that. Reel to reel tapes.
And I'll mention how we met, Kathy, because your husband is also an author as well. He's active in the historical community here in Harris County and also out west. But talk a little bit about how he motivated you to get the book started.
Well, I asked him to write the book because I had never written anything for publication before. I'd written papers in college, and my career as a teacher, I had written various things, but I never had the desire to publish or never even thought about it, to tell you the truth. And I decided to write this book because at the time I was a language arts specialist, and second grade was one of the grades that I worked with. And those teachers were constantly asking me, please bring us some resources, bring us some books that the kids can use that are written at least close to their reading level, and books that they can use for their research. Well, I couldn't find anything. And there are gorgeous, gorgeous books for adults with beautiful pictures of Houston, but the text is written on an adult level. And so I came home from school one evening and I asked George if he would write a children's book for me. And he looked at me kind of funny and he said, I'm not even sure how to write a children's book. And so he said, why don't you do it? And I kind of laughed and didn't say anything else. Well, that night I couldn't sleep. So I started thinking, well, maybe I could write a children's book. What kind of books do my children pull off the shelves the most? Well, that was alphabet books. An alphabet book about anything they just loved.
I agree. It's a great way to get a solid learning about the alphabet, your letters.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I started thinking, okay, what would I use for Houston? Well, that's easy. H is for Houston. Okay, there's one letter. I could write about the Astrodome. A is for Astrodome. What else? B is for Bayou. And so I thought, I better get up and start writing this down, because if I don't, I won't remember it in the morning. So I had probably half of the alphabet done that night. I just needed to go and research it. And I will say the hardest letter was Q. I asked my fellow teachers, I asked my kids, anybody I could think of. I even was so desperate, I got the dictionary and went through the Q's in the dictionary. And I finally came up with quesadilla. And so I could tell what the quesadilla was, what it was made out of, and then talk about the restaurants and how many different restaurants we have and all the different ethnic restaurants.
I thought that
was
a really thoughtful touch. Yeah. I could definitely see other versions of the book using different goals with reaching different audiences and things. Very thoughtful to add quesadilla. I think maybe little kids wouldn't know that that's how you spell it.
And talk a little bit about the illustrations, too.
Okay. When you publish a book, unless you self-publish it, or you are an artist, the publisher picks the illustrator. I had absolutely no contact with this illustrator, didn't know her or anything until I got the Galley Proofs. I had no idea, hadn't even seen anything. I really like what she did. I don't know anything about the computer illustrating, but that's what she did.
Uh-huh.
But after I got the book and looked it over several times, I really decided that this was it. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's very cute. Well, back to what you were saying with the conversation with your husband, I think, you know, they always say about writing, write the book that you want to read, you know, the book mm-hmm. that doesn't exist that you would like to read. And that makes sense. And I definitely would have read this book to my children. And I think it'd be fun to talk about later. It'd be fun to do one with the native plants of Houston mm-hmm. or the native birds or other animals. There are so many different directions that you could go with expanding the series. And I think it's a lovely concept. And I am all for anything that encourages people to sit and read with their children. And I wondered how much that is still happening. My kids were young before all the iPad and stuff like that. So we really just sat and read books or read books in bed at night together. Do you think people are still really reading books to their children?
I certainly hope so, because it's called lap reading when you hold one of your children either in your lap or they sit next to you and you read. When you read part of the book and the child reads another part of the book, you just take turns reading. It's a really special time to form a relationship, a special bond and relationship with your child, in addition to getting them interested in reading.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. My daughter, who's in her early 30s, if she's feeling stressed out, she likes to come over and we'll still sit and read a book together. And it's just a really relaxing, sort of comforting thing to do. So it's good. Were your kids at this age when you wrote the book, or were they?
My children? Mm-hmm. No, my children had already gotten out of school and moved away from home.
Okay.
It's been gone a while.
Do you have grandkids?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Well, have you gotten feedback from kids you know personally?
Yes.
What have you heard?
Only good things. Now, I had retired before the book came out, so I didn't get to use it in the classroom, but I have gone back for quite a few classroom visits mm-hmm. and talked to school kids, and they seem to really like it. They always have a lot of questions about everything, so I think they really like it.
Is there anything in particular that they've really pointed out?
Well, some of them talk about the Astrodome a lot because that's in the news a little bit now about what to do with it, so mm-hmm. they talk about that, and then the Z is for zoo, so they always have some comments about that.
I like the one with the lunar landing just because I remember that, and it's so important for Houston with NASA, and you've addressed the scientific community, the medical community. Does it touch on oil and gas?
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm. O is for oil, and I talk about Spindletop. And also, Marcellus E. Foster was a young man that wanted to have his own newspaper. N is for newspaper. And so he invested some money that he saved in Spindletop. And as we know, what happened with Spindletop, he made a lot of money, so he was able to start the Houston Chronicle.
That's a real important story. That's cool for kids to know. So are you planning on doing anything further with the book, or are you one and done?
No, I'm not one and done. I'm not really sure which direction I want to go. I do want to add some things to this one and correct it, so possibly I will reissue this one. But Houston has such a wonderful history. As I was writing this book, I really got into the research. Matter of fact, I probably enjoyed the research more than the writing. But I might like to do something with adults. Use this as a stepping stone and take some of the things that I wrote about in this one and then develop those, research them more and develop them for an adult book or articles. I'm not sure yet what I want to do with that, but I will definitely keep writing about Houston.
And where's this book available?
Amazon.
Mm-hmm. And can you find it in any of the bookshops in Houston?
It's not here. It's just on Amazon.
How about the libraries?
Yes. Some of the A-Leaf School libraries have them. I'm not sure if the public libraries do or not.
Okay. So you got some feedback from book group you're with in Katy. Can you talk about that?
Yes, I've been with this group for, I guess, almost 13 years now, and we're a group of aspiring writers. Some of us have been published. Some of us are working on things that we're getting ready to submit, but we meet once a week. We used to meet, before COVID, we met every Wednesday at a restaurant and had lunch, and we edited everyone else's manuscript. Well, during COVID, we stopped, and we started meeting on Zoom, and we really like meeting on Zoom, and especially since one of our members has moved to New Mexico, she can still be in our group because we see her on Zoom. That's been a big help. I had not finished the book when I joined this group, but it's a really nice learning experience because you learn how to edit and how to give feedback that will help other authors, and really enjoyed being with the group.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I've got to ask, tell about the thumb-sucking story.
Okay, when I was 4 years old, I sucked my thumb. My dad did everything to get me to stop sucking my thumb, and nothing worked. And so finally, he got some black electrical tape and wrapped it around my thumb. Well, the adhesive to that tape is very, very sticky. And I loved looking at books back then. And matter of fact, every time my mother took us to the grocery store, she bought us a golden book. And I had one that had Donald Duck on the front. And I picked up that book with my left hand, which is the thumb that I sucked. And I got some of that sticky stuff on there. I was so upset. I told my dad that if he would take that tape off, I would never, ever suck my thumb. Well, he did take it off, and I never sucked my thumb. But I was just brokenhearted because I messed my book up, you know?
So I remember those books. What were some of your favorite books? I'm sure they inspired you. When you were a kid, what did you like to read?
Well, I like the cartoon characters, the Donald Duck and the Mickey Mouse and Tom and Jerry. Mm-hmm. Those were my favorite.
What about your kids?
Yes, my kids did. I've still got theirs, matter of fact, and I've kept theirs in case they have kids so we can pass them down. But yes, they got them too. But I will have to say, instead of buying golden books when we went to the store, they got Hot Wheels.
Oh, I love that. Now, I always ask this question to longtime Houstonians, native Houstonians. What's something that's gone from Houston, something that you miss? It could be a person, place, thing, event. What's something that's gone from Houston? You've been here a long time. What's something that's missing?
The Shamrock Hotel. I've had driven by it lots of times, never been in it. I wish now that I would have gone in it, but it just broke my heart because seeing all the pictures and how the hotel started and was built and everything, it just broke my heart because, as a lot of people know, Houston doesn't preserve a lot of their buildings.
Yeah, absolutely right about that. Lots of folks say the Shamrock Hotel, they either have memories of it or they miss the building, the structure itself there. So good information. Now, where can people get a hold of you? Let's say they want to connect with you, maybe work on a project, collaborate, or just learn more about what you do.
Okay. My email is KathyMSlaughter@comcast.net.
And spell that for us.
KathyMSlaughter, SlaughterAnd then that's at comcast.net is the email, and the website is the same except .com.
Wonderful. And again, shout out to your husband, George Slaughter. We're on the board of the Houston History Research Center over the Julia Idison Library. So it all connects to books, all connects to literacy. And he's the author of a book about Spring Branch history and works closely with the Katy newspapers in the area, too. So thank you for joining us on the Houston Hour with Mr. McKinnon and Heidi Vaughn. We're going to break now for some messages and come back with more of the Houston Hour on 90.1 KPFT Houston.